Whatever kind of evidence you want to examine, whether constitutional or historical, the verdict is clear. Congress was supposed to declare war, and the president in turn was to direct the war once it was declared. This rule was scrupulously observed throughout American history until 1950 and the Korean War. Short of a full-fledged declaration of war, in lesser conflicts, Congress nevertheless authorized hostilities by statute. Any exceptions to this general rule involved military activity so minor and on such a small scale as hardly to be worth mentioning. The Korean War was the great watershed in the modern presidential power grab in war-making. President Harry Truman sent Americans halfway around the world without so much as a nod in the direction of Congress. According to Truman, authorization from the United Nations to use force was quite sufficient and rendered congressional consent unnecessary. Apart from being dangerous, that idea is simply false. Article 43 of the United Nations Charter states that any United Nations authorization to use force must be subsequently referred to the governments of each nation in accordance with their respective constitutional processes. This principle was reaffirmed in the United States in the debates over the United Nations Participation Act of 1945. Truman also claimed that the Constitution's Commander-in-Chief Clause gave him the authority to plunge America into war on his own initiative. Truman's interpretation of the Constitution was completely untenable. Nothing in American history supports it. Not the Constitutional Convention, the state ratifying conventions, the Federalist Papers, early court decisions, or the actual practice of war-making throughout most of American history. Even the early examples that are typically cited as evidence of presidential war-making, John Adams's actions during the Quasi-War with France, and Thomas Jefferson's confrontation with the Barbary pirates of North Africa, show no such thing. Both of these minor incidents were carried out according to congressional statute, with the Supreme Court ruling that a presidential directive contrary to such statutes was of no force. In spite of its complete lack of constitutional foundation, this belief that the president may take the country to war on his own authority without consulting anyone has become the conventional wisdom in both major parties, although there has been a modest backlash against it since the Iraq War. Neoconservatives have been particularly eager to promote this deviation from the Constitution. This, it seems, is their version of the living Constitution. Interestingly enough, one of the chief critics of Truman's exercise of power was Senator Robert A. Taft, one of the most conservative Republicans of his day, and who was in fact known as Mr. Republican. Speaking on the Senate floor, Taft denounced Truman's arguments and behavior in no uncertain terms. "I desire this afternoon to discuss only the question of the power claimed by the president to send troops anywhere in the world and involve us in any war in the world and involve us in any war in which he chooses to involve us. I wish to assert the powers of Congress and to point out that Congress has the power to prevent any such action by the president, that he has no such power under the Constitution, and that it is incumbent upon the Congress to assert clearly its own constitutional powers unless it desires to lose them." In the long run, Taft went on, "the question we must decide involves vitally, I think, not only the freedom of the people of the United States, but the peace of the people of the United States. If in the great field of foreign policy, the president has arbitrary and unlimited power, as he now claims, then there is an end to freedom in the United States in a great realm of domestic activity, which affects, in the long run, every person in the United States. If the president has unlimited power to involve us in war, war is more likely. History shows that arbitrary rulers are more inclined to favor war than are the people at any time." Responding to various defenses offered by the president and administration officials, Taft declared, "I deny the conclusion of the documents presented by the president or by the executive department, and I would say that if the doctrines therein proclaimed prevailed, they would bring an end to government by the people, because our foreign interests are going gradually to predominate and require a larger and larger place in the field of the activities of our people. In 2002, as war with Iraq loomed, I proposed that Congress officially declare war against Iraq, making clear that I intended to oppose my own measure. The point was to underscore our constitutional responsibility to declare war before commencing major military operations, rather than leaving the decision to the President or passing resolutions that delegate to the President the decision-making power over war. The chairman of the International Relations Committee responded by saying, "There are things in the Constitution that have been overtaken by events, by time. Declaration of war is one of them. There are things no longer relevant to a modern society. We are saying to the President, use your judgment. What you have proposed is inappropriate, anachronistic. It isn't done anymore.